It's Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio, and I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for joining us. The Twitter hashtag Panther Pride is busy this week. That's after the surprising news that the UW-Milwaukee men's basketball team won its conference championship game, and it's headed for the NCAA tournament. It's also at the top of mind for Lake Effect contributor Howie Magner, who joins Mitch Tyke to talk about the Wisconsin sports universe every month. He says the Panthers' win was all the more surprising, considering they only won 8 games all of last season, and most picked them to finish in last place this year.
It's one thing to say that you're going to be a better team this year. It's even to say you're going to be a much better team this year. They still weren't favored by any stretch of the imagination to get to the NCAA tournament. They even in the Horizon League tourney, after they had put together a pretty solid season.
Right, they had 17 or 18 wins going into the tournament.
Exactly. And they come out with 20 wins, but they had to beat 3 higher seeds to get to the NCAA tournament. They were the 5th seed. They had to beat the 4th seed, and then they had to beat top-seeded Green Bay, and then they had to beat second-seeded Wright State. So every single time they went into those games, they were underdogs. And especially when you get to a place like Green Bay, they're the top seed. They're playing on their home court. They've had a heck of a season, Green Bay has. And many people, myself included, still think that even though Green Bay didn't win the tournament championship, they should get an at-large bid. Whether or not that will happen remains to be seen, because it's always hard when you're a team from a mid-major or low-major conference to get those at-large bids, no matter how good your season was. The Panthers were underdogs the entire way through the tournament, underdogs for most of the season. And for them to do what they have done, it's pretty remarkable. You don't see turnaround stories like this come along every single season. I mean, the rebuilding job that Rob Jeter did with the Panthers is nothing short of amazing. Here they are. They'll be sitting in front of their TVs on Sunday, and their name will come up, and they will be dancing. And look, they're going to have a low seed. They'll be a 15 seed or a 16 seed, or if the computer's really impressed with them, maybe they'll be a 14 seed, but it's probably a 15 or 16 seed. And nobody's going to expect them to win a game, and nobody's going to expect much out of them. But look, nobody expected much out of them this season, and here they are. The great thing about the NCAA tournament is the unexpected happens, and maybe it will happen with the Panthers.
Well, let's mention the other two big Wisconsin schools who are in their conference tournaments this week. Marquette plays tonight in the Big East. UW is tomorrow in the Big Ten. Regardless of how the Badgers do, they're all but assured of a high seed in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, right? The Badgers have certainly done enough during the season to warrant a lot of respect from the NCAA selection committee. I don't know quite how high the seed will be. You look at those projections. Most folks expect there'll be nothing worse than a number 5 seed, and that's probably if they lose their first game in the Big Ten tournament. If they go on a run, who knows? Maybe a 2 seed. Maybe if a couple of other favorites fall, maybe they could sneak into that last number 1 seed. But the smart money is anywhere from a 2 to a 5 seed. And that sets the Badgers up pretty well to have a good deep tournament run. A lot of people are expecting that the Badgers will be placed in the Bradley Center pod for their first couple of games. And that's a heck of an advantage to have, to be playing in front of your hometown crowd. And I would imagine that a lot of Badgers fans will take advantage of that. And it will be a heck of an atmosphere at the Bradley Center.
At the same time, speaking of the Bradley Center, Marquette came into the season with high expectations, as it often does, but they are really going to need to win this tournament to make it to the NCAA, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it was kind of the reverse of UWM almost, where nobody expected much from the Panthers, and here they are in the NCAA tournament. Marquette was picked to win the Big East, and here they are really on the outside looking in. They're not even a bubble team for an at-large bid. As you said, Mitch, if they're going to make the NCAA tournament, they are going to have to win the Big East tournament. Some people will say, well, the Big East isn't getting quite enough respect and you're not quite looking enough at Marquette's strength of schedule. But regardless, if you look at what the bracketologists say, Marquette just hasn't done enough during the regular season. They don't have enough quality wins to warrant getting that at-large bid. Now, that's not to say that the Eagles can't get hot and go on a run in the Big East tournament. tournament and win. They've played some really tough opponents really tight this season. They've beaten Georgetown. They've beaten George Washington. They took Villanova to not just overtime, but double overtime here. So they have shown that when things are working for them, that they can get on a run and do well. The problem is it hasn't been consistent enough. And look, they were running into some headwinds all season long. They didn't expect Vanderblue to not come back for the season. They didn't expect Jameel McKay to leave the team right before the season started. Their guard play hasn't been the best as the season has progressed. And for as good a player as Devontae Gardner is, and as good a player as Todd Mayo can be, they just weren't good enough on a consistent enough basis to have the type of success that Marquette fans have become accustomed to during Buzz Williams' tenure. All that being said, as we said with UWM, the unexpected can happen at tournament time. And if Marquette gets on a roll, maybe you could have three teams from the state going to the NCAA tournament. If Green Bay gets the respect that a lot of people think they should get, maybe you could have four teams.
Finally today, we are less than 3 weeks away from the Brewers opening day tilt against the Braves. It's the first chance for you to weigh in on their biggest offseason signing, pitcher Matt Garza. How much stability do you think he brings with him?
I think he really does solidify that rotation. That was a bit of a question mark before the Matt Garza signing. You expected good things from Kyle Loesch. I know people were a little concerned about the Kyle Loesch season. The Kyle Loesch signing during the last offseason, but he's put together three good seasons in a row now, and he really looks to have reinvented himself as maybe not a number one ace type pitcher, but certainly a solid number two type guy who you can count on to give you a really good chance to win every fifth day. Giovanni Gallardo had a down year last year. People expect that he will bounce back and have a solid season, but after that, you really didn't have a guy that you were sure about. Marco Estrada has pitched well, but you didn't know if he would keep it up. Willie Peralta showed flashes last season, but was it just, lightning in a bottle, or is he really progressing to become a top-of-the-line pitcher? And then you had the number five spot in the rotation, which could go to any one of a number of young kids. By bringing in Matt Garza, the Brewers are saying, look, we really think we can win this year. And Matt Garza is going to be a missing piece that's really going to solidify our rotation. He was one of the top free agent pitchers out there. The Brewers got him for a relatively team-friendly contract. I know it's weird when you say $11 million a year is team-friendly, but with the price of pitching these days, it's not a break-the-bank type of deal. And one of the reasons the Brewers were able to get him so relatively cheaply is because he's had some injury issues. And so the Brewers are kind of taking a gamble on that. But if he is healthy, he is a number one, two, three type of pitcher that you count on to go out there. And if the team's on a losing streak, he'll stop it. He gives you a chance to win every single day. And he's a veteran, and he can maybe, help tutor some of the young guys as you're going along too.
Still a lot of question marks about the team that'll be on the field this year. A big one is who's going to play first base?
Yeah, that's probably the big
Most teams are required to field a first baseman.
Well, and some would say that the Brewers didn't really do that last year. Certainly not a natural first baseman. That's probably the biggest question mark. Not the only question mark for the office, but the biggest question mark. And you've got basically four guys that are in the running at this point. Mark Reynolds, who is kind of an all-or-nothing type of guy. He's either going to hit you a home run or he's going to strike out. He's a power guy, not a great defensive first baseman, but 30 home run guy, 200 strikeout kind of guy. Then you've got old friend Lyle Overbay, who the offense isn't quite what it used to be, but he's a really good defensive player. You've got Juan Francisco, who is kind of a young Mark Reynolds, if you will, but he's got defensive question marks, even though he's got light tower power. And then Sean Halton, who filled in last year, but is really a dark horse to win the job. If you talk to folks in the know, they think the Brewers would like to see Mark Reynolds win the job. Maybe it will end up being a Reynolds over Bay platoon type of situation. And look, Juan Francisco he's had a pretty good spring. And maybe, you know, he's still a young guy who's still got room to improve. Maybe he comes through and he can help the team out as well. I would bet that your opening day first baseman is going to be Mark Reynolds. I don't think they made that signing with the expectation that he was going to fail. But I think they'll probably keep both Francisco and Overbay around just for insurance purposes.
And finally, what do you think Ryan Braun ought to do to get into the good graces of Brewers fans, at least as far as play on the field goes?
Hit the baseball. Hit the baseball hard. I think, look, for all the angst and much of it deserved that Ryan Braun has engendered, the bottom line is, and you could look at guys in the past who have been suspended and had PED questions hanging over their head, Barry Bonds to Giambi to Alex Rodriguez. If you perform on the field, people will cheer for you. And if Ryan Braun performs on the field in a Milwaukee Brewers uniform, then enough Milwaukee Brewers fans will cheer him on that they won't completely forget about the things that he's done, but they'll let it slide, if you will. If Ryan Braun stays healthy, I expect he'll hit 30 to 40 home runs, and he'll bat 300 to 320, and he'll knock in 100 to 120 RBIs. And if he does that, then I think he'll go a long way toward putting the PED suspension into the past.
Well, we are always rooting for you on the field, Howie Magner. Thanks.
Thanks much, Mitch. Take care.
Howie Magner writes the Sports Nut column for Milwaukee Magazine's website, and he's a senior editor at the magazine. He's also our regular sports contributor, and he spoke with Mitch Teich.